Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products and businesses, real life stories. With this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here is your host, Elizabeth.
Well, happy day, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Best Ever You Show. I was about to say happy back to school. There's a lot of people in my Facebook who are sending their kids back to school already. And I don't know about you, but I've got four boys, ages 12, 14, 16, and 18, to get ready to go back to school. So things are chugging right along here, and the oldest is going off to college on the 30th, and then school doesn't start here until September 3rd or 4th. Or I think it's actually both days there because I've got high school and middle schooler kids. But, wow, I can't believe people are back to school already. Some kids have been back to school already for a week now. Crazy stuff. I know my my dining room table is filled with school supplies. It's really scary. And then part of my office here is filled with everything to take my kiddo to college for his freshman year at UMaine. So really busy time of year. So I thank you all for listening and tuning in. I know it's hard to pry you away from your summer activities outside to come in and listen on the radio, but we really appreciate you listening and following the show and really sharing the show in your social media. With all of your help, we have 1.5 million listeners, and we're just so thankful, and thank you to everybody at Blog Talk Radio for featuring our shows and just getting really behind the Best Ever You Show a few years ago and just propelling us forward and to success and everything that we're doing. The one other bit of information that I would mention to you is that my book, Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through, is now available in pre-order on Amazon. I just signed with Hay House, and that was probably almost a year ago that I signed with Hay House, and we've been working on this book. It comes out 4/1/4/14, so April 14th, 2014, Percolate, Let Your Best Self Filter Through will be released. Really excited. Got a lot of pre-orders, and just thankful there as well. Everybody, Hay House is awesome, and all the people we know associated with Hay House and the fans, the people, everybody, just a really class act. So thank you so much. And speaking of class acts, we have just an amazing woman with us here today. Her name is Rana Prince. And Ron, hi, how are you? I'll stop talking.
I'm great. I've got four kids also, but just only two to get into school. Two of them are launched into the world. So I know how you feel.
Yeah, where are your kids going to school?
My youngest is 13. I have three boys and a girl, 13 and 16, that think she's going on 25, going to her senior year of high school in Phoenix, and then two boys that are out and, you know, working successfully in the world, 23 and 20 years old. So keeps us busy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got the four boys, and it's all great fun, and every day is a learning experience when you have kids, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and I'm so grateful. I have one girl, and we it's just different. Yeah. But my boys, I love too, so it's just wonderful to have kids. Yep,
it's very awesome, and I love mine dearly. How was that for you? We'll get to all your stuff here, but how was that for you when your first one went to college?
Well, it was really pretty tough, you know. And I think the first time you do anything that's heart based, and we're going to be talking all about the heart. You know, if you let yourself feel it, because he was, you know, my first child. I remember still his first day of kindergarten, and he went, and I turned around and cried all the way home, and same taking him off, sending him off to college, you know, and just because he didn't go through that really kind of breakaway phase where they're testing you and challenging you in senior year. He was just such a wonderful, happy, easy-go-lucky guy, so I missed him a lot. So, and he didn't go too far. He just went up about 2 hours away. So it's
a process. Too. Yeah, I don't have a real challenging child. In fact, I don't know if reality has set in for him that he's leaving to go to school yet.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but same thing, just a couple hours away. So I at least I'm kind of thankful for at least the first one, that I don't have one going all the way across the country or something like that. I don't know if I would deal with that so well. So I thank him for staying close by and allowing me not to visit, I'm guessing. I have no idea.
Well, wait until he starts bringing his laundry home. You know, that's what mine did. And I found my second one, I said, you got to do your own laundry, dude. So anyway.
Yeah, I know. I taught my kiddo how to do the laundry this past summer because I don't make the kids do the laundry or anything like that. If they want to and they want to help out, that's great. But yeah, the whole laundry thing. Oh boy. Anyway. All right. Well, I don't know if laundry is in my heart. Is there a way to put that there so you can teach me?
I don't know. Probably do it with gratitude that you still can when you're missing them. You remember all the times you were grateful to do that laundry for them.
There you go. There you go. That's a good twist on that one.
Yeah, right.
All right. So tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got started. I want to talk about modern mastery. I want to talk about sacred journey of the heart. You know, all the things that you do. But let's pick one to like get our audience, you know, familiar with really who you are and what got you started.
Well, who I am is an explorer of the inner world and the cosmos. So that's saying it in a big way, but because I really am always on the quest of exploring what's new and what's out there on the cutting and the leading edge. And in doing that, I became a filmmaker, one of my roles. And I never studied film, didn't go to film school, but had a vision that I wanted to contribute to the growing body of films on spirituality and consciousness. And for my estimation, what really needed to be explored was the heart's relationship to how we transform and how we change. And so that's how I had this little inkling of an idea, and it turned into this really big, wonderful film, 88-minute feature documentary that's been in 4 weeks in theaters out in the Phoenix area, and we're just continuing to share that with the world.
That's so awesome. Congratulations. That's really hard to do, isn't it? That is not
well,
easy.
Well, if I had known, probably like you with your book, there are those times when you just said, what was I thinking, you know, just to put a big project out there and have to gestate it and give birth to it. You know, I really, and people ask me, why didn't you start with a book? And I don't know, I wanted to, you know, have a big vision that people could sit and experience in a group, and that seemed to be a good way to do it, was to make a film, and then you have to have about the cooperation of about 150 people, not just me and, you know, some editors and things like that. So mm-hmm. It was a big project.
Yeah. And how did you raise money to make a film like that? You know, doesn't something like that cost a ton of money and time and energy? How do you coordinate and get that done?
Well, that's an excellent question.
Everybody asks about movies.
I know it's a great question, but what I do and what I help my clients do is if I had to answer those questions from my mind and figure it out, I wouldn't have created this film. I created it what I call a magnetic heart field. That said, this is truly in my heart, the vision, the service I want to share with the world. And so then I know that I put it into that place where it's a vision that's already done. I just align with it energetically, and it comes to me. So people like Greg Braden and Mary Morrissey and Dr. Joe Dispenza, they didn't know me from anything. They were introduced to me by some really good and wonderful supporters. But, you know, do you want to be in my film, Sacred Journey of the Heart? They said, okay. And I know specifically it's because I created, in part, a very large heart field. And I didn't know how to, coming from corporate banking, which how do you get to be a corporate banker and then a filmmaker? That's another topic. But I thought I'd had to write an investment memorandum and have returns and, you know, reporting and all that. And one of my supporters said, why don't you just ask your clients to donate money? So I set up, and within 6 weeks, a nonprofit asked my clients, raised $125,000 in 7 days, and said, I guess that's the green light from the universe. So I got donations to do it, and then,
awesome.
You know, continued to get donations and things like that to get the film to the place it is. So it's a pretty unique way of funding a film, but it worked.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting to me when you come from your heart how mm-hmm. much different life can be.
It really is, and people have sometimes a confused idea of what coming from your heart in this empowered way means, because they have had some experiences that they might think back on saying, well, when I followed my heart, I ended up in a mess. But that's what I would call, you know, needing to separate between the untrained emotional fluctuations and back and forth. And a lot of that is like hormone-driven, you know, following your hormones instead of your heart. And, you know, and the real distinction of heart mastery and what we're talking about in the film is learning how to harness the innate, powerful heart intuition, that wisdom that's in the heart. When you get quiet and you listen to, you will always be in alignment with your truth and the path that's going to lead you to growth and expansion.
Now, for somebody listening right now, they might be going, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That, huh? What'd you just say? Sometimes when concepts are new to us, we maybe have to hear them a little bit or put them into practice or listen again or, you know, keep exploring. Explain what you mean one more time, just so people kind of understand what you mean, because people might not be at the level where you are. Back us up to like a beginner who's just getting familiar with self-help, and what does this mean to them?
Okay, that's a great way of putting it. So what it means is when we come from a place of the head where we're trying to figure things out, we're operating a lot of times from the patterns of the past. So even with the best of intentions, we might create a relationship that you look back on and say, that was just the same thing I got out of, but with a different person. Or I just went into a job and found it's so overtaxing and stressful. That's sort of like head-based thing. So a lot of people new to this path are saying, how do I shift and start to do something different and start to get some different results that are more in alignment with, the being happy and being peaceful? And that's when you say, well, let me start exploring this realm of the heart and how I master my heart instead of trying to come from the world of my head. And so when you start to do that, you learn to really quiet down for a minute and listen what's inside of your heart, start to feel some of the feelings rather than just ignore them and say, whatever happened in the past, it's all good, and start to work with, what the real power in the heart is, what's called, we talked about in the film, the heart brain. There is an actual neurocardiology function of the brain that when we learn how to tap into the real true heart's power, we start to see things happen differently. So when you start on this path, the main question is, well, how do I create a different result? Because thinking your way into that different result is not going to happen.
It sure isn't, is it? Might in some cases, but yeah, it just depends. You talk about modern mastery being a four-step process of awareness, acceptance, appreciation, and anchoring. Does that tie into Sacred Journey of the Heart?
It does really very much in parallel, because so we have awareness when I first started shooting at in the film, I was always intended to be on camera as a part of the person leading this journey. The footage started coming back, and I looked like I was scared to death. I had really literally no awareness that my heart was as shut down as it was, because I thought I had done the work and gone to therapy and explored. But when I got on camera, I said, oh, here's a big awareness that something is going on. The camera lights go on, and I start looking like a deer in the headlights, talking about love with the only thing moving my mouth. So
yeah.
I had that powerful awareness. And in the film, the parallel is dive in. So we have a parallel in the film throughout a theme, which is dive in, tune in, and lighten up. So in Modern Mastery, that's dive in is the awareness and going into the heart, finding out what's there. And tune in is the acceptance of what happened, really about accepting whatever is showing up as the most important information. What are the results? And if we're resenting our results and not tuning into that, then we keep getting the same thing. And then the third, appreciation, which is the lighten up. So appreciate what's happened, whatever it is. That's what the process I went through, going into my past, appreciating it, and then lightening up in so many different ways, and we anchor into a new part of, creating something else.
Do you, how do you think of all that? Did you sit down one day and just start writing or thinking, or how did you get involved with all of this? It's really interesting to me how, having just written a book, too, that's a common question people ask me, and sometimes I'm not certain I have the best answer for it, because it's just things you think or things you do, or it's almost like somebody said when you write a book, kind of almost gets written through you. It's very...
Yes. Yeah, and I have, I think for me it was just an evolution. It wasn't just one day I came up with it, but my intention always is to be, service to my clients, my family, myself, and And I'm always, as I said, you know, an explorer of the inner and the outer worlds. And so that, well, the things that, you know, if people want to change, and so often they're not even in an awareness of that, you know, where they are, then we've got to come up with a process to create awareness. And we do that through a lot of different techniques I use as a coach. So it's just an evolution of the work. And then the dive in, Tune In, Lighten Up, came about in a movie when everything stopped because I saw how stuck I really was. And so we literally went skydiving, and that ended up in one part of the film. So to change up the energy, because we have to really change things up, you know, excavate, dive in, whatever it is. And so that just came as a part of the creative process, you know, that flows, as you said, through you when you're putting it out there to share a powerful message.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Rana Prince. She's the founder of Modern Mastery Global Wholeness Corporation. She's an intuitive counselor, coach, workshop leader, and inspirational speaker. She's also the writer and producer, and probably director and collaborator. you've got a great movie here. It's called Sacred Journey of the Heart, but writer and producer. This is a film about science and the spirit of our connection. She's an intuitive counselor and coach, but she also, I love this, you're also a songwriter. How cool is that?
Yes, I came from a musical background, and I wrote the theme song to Sacred Journey of the Heart, and I have another album that's not really out there anymore, but that was from my past called We Have a Voice. It was a collection of songs for people who have survived sexual abuse, and so I had that. That was out there about 10 years ago. I don't know where it is now, but yeah, I'm a creative person.
Oh yeah, I can tell, and I'm looking at your picture right now as I'm talking with you. I'm on your website, sacredjourneyoftheheart.com, and you just have the most beautiful smile and little twinkles in your eye, a little twinkle in your eye. You're just so preciously adorable. Did you want to do this when you were like in high school and middle school and elementary school, or did you have something else that you thought you might do, or have you always wanted to be a coach and a counselor and, you know, all the things that you are right now?
I didn't have any idea about doing this, you know, what I'm doing now, you know, helping people in a real direct way. I knew I was creative and, you know, came from a home of musicians, but I did know at age 5 I made a promise to myself that someday I'm going to go back into my heart, because I had to shut my heart down with the abuse that was going on in my home. And I made a promise at 5 years old, when I go back into my heart, I'm going to be able to help others. I'll be able to heal other people. I didn't know what way it would come about, but I knew it would, at some point it would happen. That was sort of in the transition from being in the world of banking and finance for 16, 20 years. And finally, I got 3 years in a row, I had lost a jobs and by choice, mostly, or reduction in force. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I think this is the time to fulfill that promise I made a long time ago. So I'm going to just go do something else and make sure it's something I love. So I started telling everyone I'm an intuitive counselor and a workshop leader. I'd never done it before. But people opened their doors and said, come on in and work at our place. Here's our client list. And that's just how things have happened to me. So.
Yeah, we have kind of a similar path there. I quit a 17-year career in the financial services industry and took a giant leap of faith and started Best Ever You. I actually literally wrote the business plan, if you'd call it that, whatever that was, for Best Ever You, kind of like while I was working the last job. And I just remember taking that giant leap of faith and doing something different that was just completely in the opposite direction of my logical finance-type brain.
Right.
You know, really mathy, logic, you know, that kind of thinking, something completely different. What's it like for you when you took that leap of faith? What was it like when you took that leap of faith? And have you ever thought about, you know, have you had moments, I'm sure you have, like I have, where you're just like, oh, man, this is really hard, or you feel like giving up, or you don't know what to do next?
Yes, I've had a fair share of those moments, taking any leap of faith into something new. Just because, you know, we don't learn about leaps of faith until we do it many, many times, it's scary, you know. And I worried about, you know, what are people going to think about me? I'm a banker. This thing I do is kind of weird. And many times, and I thought, maybe
get a real job.
I know, get a real job and go back to banking. And I said, no, I can't do that. It's you know, I'm doing what I love. And there have been many times throughout making the film, I quit. And my youngest child, my son who's now 13, he was my biggest cheerleader. He kept saying, "Don't quit, Mom, don't quit." Oh my gosh, it was just, thank goodness for him, because and my significant other, who's my co-producer, Donald Backstrom, who's in the film. He encouraged me. But when you just see the largest of what it is you've tried to create, and so when we had our wonderful premiere out in Phoenix with everybody and all of our film speakers there, most of them, Greg Braden was there, sold out house. 2 weeks in advance, we sold out our film at a major Harkins Theater here. And they said they've never even seen that for Batman, and people were trying to scalp tickets to my movie. So I gave special thanks to my son, and I said, here's my biggest cheerleader, who we're here today because he told me, he kept telling me, don't give up, don't give up. So I'm so grateful for him.
Yep, I've got some of those kids, too. They're like, Mom, that's what you love to do. Do it. And the kids are so smart like that, aren't they? They see what
they
makes
are.
You happy and what doesn't. And, I get it completely.
Yep.
Now, you keep mentioning Greg. I don't know him well at all. And I'm wondering, he seems like he was incredibly meaningful to you in this project.
He has been, because he was one of the first people that said yes to this project, thanks to my wonderful associate Karen Kebnick of Heart Wisdom Journeys. She had been inviting Greg up to Sedona for a number of years, and she was putting me on the platform as a speaker in her events, and was behind this whole, encouraging me. And so she said, Greg, Ron is okay. She's the real deal. And so he was one of the first persons we filmed. And he continues to be just a major supporter. And an example of that is we have this big online free event, Telesummit, coming up that you can see on the homepage of Sacred Journey of the Heart. And Greg Braden has generously offered to give everyone who registers for that event the first time ever seeing the full 45-minute interview he did for the film. So anybody who's Greg Braden fans, you just have to register for this online free event, and you'll instantly get to see this whole, thing. And, Greg could have said, let's just keep it for something else. But he said, sure, use it. So you'll get that free, and, and my five-part process for opening the heart just by registering. So I'm really excited. It's 20 speakers, people in the film, and then I created this heart field and invited Nick Ortner. He's in it, of the Tapping Solution. Bob Proctor and Dr. John DeMartini, Favorites from The Secret, Betsy Chassie, filmmaker of What the Bleep. So I have this fantastic lineup of experts that were in the film and joining us that are saying, this is a topic that everybody needs, and let's just put it out there for free. So whatever it is, people are ready for, they'll find something in those 5 days, 20 speakers, starting on September 9th.
So for people wanting to register for your event, they can go to sacredjourneyoftheheart.com. And register. And you also have your own free gift there as well, so you can sign up for your email. But I'm on here and I'm just looking at this is going to be a tremendous teleconference or online event or seminar, whatever we're calling them these days. There's so much fun to do. We did one motivation marathon. We had 50 some people over 9 days. And we were cranking out 5-6 interviews a day. It was just crazy busy. And it was a motivation marathon. But Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith was the keynote, along with Gary Kobat, and it was just so much fun to learn about all of these people. And don't you think that people have so many amazing gifts and talents, and they're so interesting?
They do, and all, everybody, not just, the people on this telesummit, but I have such a sense of privilege humility when I have, whatever clients come to me, and everyone has a gift and talent. A lot of the work I do individually is just help them uncover that and remember, who they really are, what they've come to do, and it's always inside of them. And, people that have put themselves out there in the public eye, we've all had our own challenges and struggles. And our keynote speaker, Mary Morrissey, is a narrator of the film. Just when she's going to talk on first speaker, our keynote, what she's lived through and survived through is just so inspirational. And so everybody has that special gift that I love seeing and helping clients uncover.
Mm. What else about you? You said so many different things about you. I want to make sure I cover everything. If Do you do individual coaching and training and things like that now, or are you too busy with the movie?
Well, I still do it because it's what I love, and it feeds me, you know. So I still work with clients, and especially works well with people out on the in the central and eastern time zones, because I'll do my sessions like I did at 6 a.m. my time, 7 a.m. you know, when before the day gets started, because I'm an early morning person, and so I still have clients that I work with individually, and people that are coming into some of my groups. I just got certified by the Institute of Heart Math for a really important program that helps people in a way different way. It's called Stop Emotional Eating. And I'm really excited about this certification, and I can lead some groups through it. It's individual coaching, where we learned how to stop emotional eating and eat intuitively. So there's no diet, there's nothing you have to do, but it is really powerful, and the results are there. And you know, because if we go on a diet and we don't take care of the underlying emotional stressors, we don't know how to work with the power of the heart, which can give us the feeling of satisfaction. We can generate those hormonal responses from our heart before we reach for the food, then we don't need the food anymore. So I'm really excited about that one, and that's one of my newest coaching certification.
Well, that's neat. Yeah, we just did a show, how to permanently lose weight, and it wasn't about a diet or exercise or anything like that. It was with Dr. Margaret Paul. And
awesome.
Yeah, I love her. If you've ever if you've been to her website before, she's all about not abandoning yourself, and kind of the same thing. Just maybe a different way of saying it or whatever, but she's so inspirational to listen to, but she's big into not abandoning yourself. And I'm curious, let's go on that for a minute. When you abandon yourself, what does your heart do?
Well, your heart just energetically shuts down. I mean, it's always going to beat, and I love this about the heart. It doesn't think about, you know, the beat the last minute or what's going to happen the next heartbeat. It just is in the present moment, but you lose access to that intelligent wisdom in the heart, those that really can point you in the right direction. So your heart is a organ is going to obviously continue to function, but you get what's called an incoherent signal then, because then when you're stressed, and you can see this on readouts that you can connect your own earlobe and into your computer or onto your iPhone with the heart math devices, you see a jaggedy wave pattern, because your heart is sending stress signals to the brain. And this, we talked about this in the movie, 80 to 90% of the signals that tell the brain what to do originate in the heart. So if you're stressed and your heart goes into this jagged pattern, it sends incoherent signals to the brain that then produce what most people have heard about, cortisol. That's a stress hormone, and your heart is what's telling your brain to put out that cortisol. And so you're having a cortisol stress reaction. You're aging your body. You're creating a breakdown in your tissues. When you learn how to work with the power of your heart, and I love this, I'm in charge now whether I'm going to put cortisol into my body constantly all day or whether I'm going to manufacture through the conscious power in my heart DHEA, which is the youth and the vitality hormone. And this is exactly why in the first 2 minutes of the film, you see the before and after shots of me, how I aged biologically backwards by using this power, this innate power in my heart that everybody has.
Yeah, I saw that, and at 44, it seems like the fountain of youth. For me, anyway, I was like, oh, that's nice. I don't want
it is.
Cortisol, thank you.
And I'm proud of my age. I'm 52 years old. I haven't had work done. You know, it's just the way I am. You know, you kind of have to say that in Scottsdale, but
I hear you.
You know, it's just, it's true. It's the true fountain of youth. You know, I put DHEA, that vitality hormone, throughout the day. If I get stressed, I don't wait and have to go meditate or do anything. I just use my heart. You know, the very simple process that we show in the film. We'll be talking about in the telesummit with Dr. Deborah Rosman, one of the researchers at the Institute of Heart Math. She has a whole hour with me, and she's going to tell people exactly how you do this. I can't remember what day of the week she's on, and that week is September 9th through 13th. But, you know, we're coming together to show and tell people effective tools that really work to, you know, to change your life. And it's a really exciting time to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely. What does laughter produce? What does laughter make your heart do?
Well, it's got to be, I would imagine, I don't know for sure, you know, but laughter can really just send a lot of cascades of chemicals from the heart to the brain, you know, of all of the chemicals like serotonin, which makes us feel good. And, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I'm going to have to get my wonderful partner on the line. He could tell you all of that. But I think it sends that cascade of that feel good hormones into the, you know, into the brain, so that we're producing, you know, that DHEA-like effect. And it's, you know, we know laughter is the best medicine, and lots of studies on reversing serious illness with laughter and vitamin C. That's Linus Pauling's original work.
I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. I want to talk about traveling with you, but I also, before I do that, I want to talk, if we could, about where people can view the movie or buy the movie. Or, you know, how do you get a hold of your DVD?
Well, you can purchase the DVD on sacredjourneyoftheheart.com, and that's the best way to get it right now, and that's just available in the United States. And at some point, we're going to be soon, we think it'll all come together to Telesummit, streaming the film for a streaming rental for the first time through our website. So, you know, if you aren't into buying the DVD, I think it's worth buying it and passing it around. Then you can wait for the streaming rental to come online.
Mm-hmm. That's really neat. Now,
sacredjourneyoftheheart.com.
Everybody hear that? Sacredjourneyoftheheart.com, DVD purchase. I love it. Then go to Amazon and buy Perk. No, I'm just kidding. It's cute.
Yeah.
Although, isn't it funny how you know, you do these projects, we do them, and they're from our heart and all this stuff, and then there's this element of having to market it and sell
it.
And it gets uncomfortable, doesn't it? It's like, oh, you know, I have to become like a salesperson now. It's like, no, it's not what I wanted to do. I just wanted to
make it. Well, I guess just coming from the heart, you know, and just knowing that the message is so important that will come through. So
yeah. Well, it helps people. You know, that's the whole point of what you've done here, is that it just really genuinely helps people. And I really don't think you're a person who would sink your time, energy, and love and heart, own heart into something if you didn't completely believe in it.
Right.
I don't think you'd be on the radio here for an hour too. You know, it wasn't something that we all, you know, and all the people involved with it too are behind it. So it seems like a very quality, very helpful, well done DVD. So and movie, and it's very cool. Kudos to you, Dan, because I know how hard those things are to do.
A lot of work.
Can we travel? There's something about you also where you take these sacred trips. I'd love to hear about that.
Well, yeah, I love taking people, and that's how the film originated, to sacred sites where humans have gone to worship, to pray, to celebrate, you know, over thousands of years in a lot of the places. And so I love traveling because I know, again, that's a way to move the energy, to go somewhere different out of the routine. And we get in a routine, we get in a rut. So I love to travel, and so I started taking people to sacred sites, first in the U.S. in Sedona, which is close to my home, beautiful site with a lot of wonderful vortexes and energy, and then some of the sacred sites throughout the U.S. Then we put together a trip to go to Glastonbury in the UK and all the sacred sites around there, like Stonehenge, where we had private entry, and Avebury and the Chalice Well. And that's where we said, well, let's take a film crew to just show what happens when people transform. And then it turned into how each one of us in the film project transformed, as you'll see in the movie, because that was the unexpected turn in the film. And so then I continued to do that with my clients who want to go into, you know, transformation, because there's definitely, you know, an energy, a reason why people have gathered at these sites for thousands of years. And we've gone to Egypt and Peru, Machu Picchu, Mexico, and the next trip is Malta in March of 2014. I see we need to get that date shifted on my website, but I selected Malta because it's just a beautiful place. I selected Malta because it predates Stonehenge by about 1,000 years. In terms of when it was started to really be constructed. And that is really the place of the goddess. It truly is. They have round oval temples and big, huge, fat goddess statues where we really can connect with ourself, however we are showing up in the world as women. And we don't do that as often as we could in our society today.
Amen. Do you Have you been to all these places before and now you're going back? Are these things you've done with your kids? Because I'm fascinated because I sometimes feel like, and maybe my kids are too small, I want to go all these different places, and we've been a lot of places in the United States, and we moved to Maine from Tahoe. But sometimes people in my audience that are listening to this show might have kids and little kids and things like that. Are you ready for a trip like that with little kids?
Well, little kids and this type of travel don't really go together very well because the whole point is, and I have four. You know, my youngest is now 13, but you end up taking care of them, you know, or thinking about them, you know, in terms of just the immediacy of their needs. And so, you know, most of the people that travel, I've had people travel with children and just make arrangements with, you know, family to take care of the kids. And so we usually will do a trip that you could go for 6 days. We'll have, you know, kind of split it into two parts, 6 days, and then head on home and then do an extension up to 10 days. Because I do understand that when you have kids at home that need you, you can't always go away that long. So that's what we did in Peru. And the reason we do the trip is just to really go into that inner exploration, that time for yourself. So, you know, and if you have smaller kids, like I didn't do a lot of this travel until my youngest was about 9 and, you know, was pretty well, you know, could take care of himself and felt happy being at home with his dad or, you know, with his aunt and cousins. So little tiny kids, it's a little hard to do.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm just sort of getting to the point where, you know, we can travel a little bit more, you know, if somebody wanted to come in and watch the kids or something like that, or maybe they wanted to go with or whatever, you know, it just depends. But I hear you. So small kids probably need to get watched and you need to go do this alone.
Right. Yeah, it really is that time off, time away, and that's where the transformation happens. And then what we do on our trips is a lot of after support because you go, whether it's a trip or a retreat, you go through this powerful transformative process and you go back to your life. And if you don't have that follow-up support, you know, in terms of let's stay connected and talk about the reentry to life, you just kind of go back to a certain degree to where you were before. And I know this from experience. It takes that consistent application of what you learned about yourself, as you've probably, everyone's heard, 21 days to establish a new habit. Then I heard Deepak Chopra talk about that it takes 66 days for those habits to form new, fully fledged neural connections in the brain. So I'm like, oh, okay, we got to extend our aftercare up to 66 days. According
to Deepak,
be
a lifetime. Who knows? You know?
Right. Yes.
It could be a lifetime for some things. But with all the traveling that you are doing or have done, for somebody new to this type of an experience, you know, there might be people listening going, I've never done anything like that before. Mm-hmm. What would make you take that leap of faith to go do something like this? Why should people do that?
Well, I would say, you know, curiosity and the desire to change something in your life, you know, to take time for yourself. And, you know, women and men alike, we put so many other demands and things first. This is what really is, I call it sacred time, to go within. And, you know, if you haven't given yourself that time for a long time, you start to feel the buildup of stress. And so, and you know, I think curiosity is, you know, that we sometimes lose sight of as adults. It's like, what might happen? And just be open to it and say, you know, there's some time for me to go on this inner journey as we explore a new place in the world and make connections with people. Everybody that goes on this trip, they form really lasting friendships with members of the group. So it's that time for yourself that we don't get very much of, you know, a massage here and there and, you know, sometimes, you know, exercise, but that's not quite the same.
Yeah, this is a complete break of your routine and might call for a little courage to do something different, put fear down and go for it. And have you ever had anybody come back and go, I'm never doing something like that again? You know, are there mixed reactions, or has everybody come back going, that was the coolest thing I've ever done?
I've never had anybody say, I'm never doing that again. I would say, you know, that our trip to Egypt, is one that, you know, people will come back and say, well, I am exhausted from this place and I need to recover a bit, and I wouldn't take a group to Egypt right now with what's going on. But
right. But
Egypt has a lot of old, you know, energy, that's a lot of unrest when we went there about two and a half, three years ago. So that was the only one people came back and said, I feel like I need a vacation from vacation.
There's
hard travel to some spiritual places, and then there's some easy travel. Like Peru is beautiful. The people, I feel that's one of my true spiritual homes, and our guide there was unbelievably gracious. Jorge Luis Delgado, the author of Andean Awakening, took us into Machu Picchu, walking up that trail with our eyes closed, standing with our eyes closed in front of Machu Picchu, said, now, feel the place, feel it before you ever open your eyes, you know, and I didn't care what everyone else was thinking about. That was just magical, and he taught us how to fly in Machu Picchu, so I know I'm going to go back on that one, too, literally fly. I didn't know it was possible, but it's he taught us how to do it.
Tell me what you mean by fly.
Well, he has a very secret, special place, because he's been there for years, and you lay on a rock and upside down, and you have your head hanging. It's very safe, you know, you're held securely, but it's a little promontory that juts out over the cliff, literally, but it's safe. And then you look backwards into the entire bowl of the sky, and you move your arms up and down, and you are literally flying in the sky like a bird. It's just... I gave
cool.
the whole secret away, but it's
that's
the kind of thing that we do, and it's amazing. You know, you just remember, you know, your unchained soul, that wonderful book that's been out, I think called The Untethered Soul, and we have some of those experiences in these sacred travel places.
You know, you just said something, aside from that, closing your eyes and what did you say? You closed you marched up the side of the cliff or on the path with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
And then in another spot, told you as a group to close your eyes and imagine something. Have you
right.
ever been around the, I'm just going to go Thanksgiving table, for example, with a bunch of people and like saying a prayer and notice
mm-hmm.
that people are so uncomfortable with their eyes closed? You ever seen people peek or see if the other people are closing their eyes? Or you?
yeah, it's not so much a Thanksgiving.
That's so uncomfortable for people.
Sometimes we do this in our group where we have people close their eyes and quit, you know, trying to hold their stomach in and just like let it all hang out while we're doing stuff. And that's when people say, well, I'm going to peek. And I'm like, nobody's caring what you're doing or thinking anyway, so you might as well, you know, just go with the flow.
Bunch of adults. I promise you get about 30 adults or 10 even
uh-huh.
in a circle and tell them to all close their eyes. We're with preschoolers.
Yeah.
But close
bad.
Your eyes, and everybody peeks and looks and shifts and gets uncomfortable and everything. That's just the funniest thing to me always. So I can't even imagine going up that with your eyes closed. And then, you know, I'm sure people were much more spiritual, though, hopefully with their eyes closed at a place like that. But
yeah, well,
so
we knew there was going to be a big payoff, so we did it. But I think it really comes from fear of seeming, you know, different is a big part of it, that in those moments, even as adults, so we think we shouldn't have that, you know, being running in the background, but it is. So that's why, you know, the peeking, I think, comes from that, you know, somebody might find out, you know, I'm looking stupid, or so we do a lot
it's
of things.
My eyes closed. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
you know, your eyes are closed. I can't tell what you're actually praying about or thinking or whatever,
yeah.
you know, even if you're singing Jingle Bells with your eyes closed at the Thanksgiving dinner, I don't know what you're doing. It's a funny
right.
thing.
Funny,
I don't
yeah.
know, whatever, but yeah, well, good. That sounds like a true lifetime experience.
It is. Even if you go on one of these journeys, and we call them sacred, which just means, you know, returning to wholeness. It's not about a religious trip or anything like that. We do
right.
a lot of research on the history of the place, and boy, you know, there's testimonials on my website of people that have done that, and I do love to travel. I'm a world traveler. I've been doing it my whole life. After college, I went to spend a year in southern France on a Rotary Foundation scholarship and traveled all over. I went to Russia right before the wall came down, and then been there, you know, been all over the world. And I don't always, you asked earlier, I don't usually go to the places myself first. So I'm discovering along with everyone else, and the key is having a really good ground operator like Jorge Luis Delgado or some of the people we met with, because they know the place. And so then we as a group have that sense of newness and discovery as we go through the process, because that's kind of how I teach, by example and experiencing what I'm asking people to experience and do. And we have a lot of fun, a lot of laughter on those trips.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I've never been out of the United States, but I got to tell you, I thought Sedona was one of the coolest places I've ever been.
I have lots of secret places I know. We take people up to a place called Shaman's Dome, which is not that far away, but we do some really cool stuff in there. It's a natural cave that's carved out of the rock by wind, and it's got a beautiful window in it too. So we go up and do some dream time imaginal work up there.
Yeah. That sounds cool. Now, coming back to the U.S. for a minute here, can you tell us about this shiny silver quarter on the pavement when you were attending heart math training?
Oh, that's a little anecdote I have about, just really listening and paying attention, because I talk about dreams coming true, and they really do. Your dreams come true through the power of your heart. This film couldn't have happened in my mind because I didn't have the expertise or to know how to do it. But I was training, doing my heart math certification training, and they had one of the biggest Santa Ana wind storms of all time, and so the power was knocked out all the way up the valley from Santa Cruz to where about 30 miles away where they have the heart math training facilities. And so I had to stay, no power in the little cabins I was in. I had to stay down in Santa Cruz. And I was like, okay, this is an adventure. I could have chosen, I was training on how to not be stressed. So I said, this is perfect. I get to practice what I'm here learning and getting certified. So I had no idea where I was going to stay. As I kept going down the valley towards Santa Cruz, every hotel was filling up, like it was sold out, because everybody, all the locals were out of power. So I finally ended up at a place called the Dream Inn, a beautiful hotel right on the beach in Santa Cruz. And so I said, oh, good. Here I am in this place about called Dream Inn. So my dreams are coming true somehow. And the next morning I went out to the pier and did my morning jog that I like to do. And as I was coming back to the Dream Inn hotel, I saw a shiny coin on the sidewalk, and I stepped over it. And then I heard my inner self, my heart say, go back and pick that up. Because I used to dream as a child, my best dreams I ever had was finding coins on the sidewalk on the way to school. And so that was, for me, very significant. It's just a coin on the sidewalk. But, it's like when your dreams are coming true and you step over them and you don't pay attention, then the universe goes, oh, well, they're not ready for the dream. So I like that little anecdotal story, because I'm in the Dream Inn in Santa Cruz. My dream of finding coins has manifested. Now, I like to think now in terms of bigger bills and things like that, but it was just a wonderful.
Pick up the 20s.
Yeah, a reminder of that dreams do come true when you go with the flow. Yeah, I could put a couple Ben Franklins down there, too. It'd be fine.
Oh, you're cracking me up. That's really funny. Man. That's really funny. Okay, on a very serious note, for those, this is personal, so if you choose not to answer it, you can pass or whatever, but so many of us have survived so many different things. My dad's a stroke survivor. I survived anaphylactic allergic reactions. I just was writing about it today, where I prayed for my life, wished I didn't have food allergies, all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. When something happens to you and you can't change what's happened, you can move forward or you can go back or whatever. How do you get through that? How do you move forward? It's a big question. And just personally to you, what's happened to you so that you could help us understand what you have survived in your life?
Well, I like that question because everybody experiences it, the way you set up the question, everyone experiences something. And, and it happens periodically through life. It looks like something is happening to us. And in my case, it was sexual abuse from about 3 years old to 13. It was prolonged. It was intense. And the adults that I did tell really didn't believe me at the day and age that I was in. So, I did my best and grew up and was in therapy quite a lot as my kids were, you know, as having my kids so that I could be real clear and be present for them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, right in the moment when someone's experiencing a crisis, you know, you really just have to allow that to happen. You know, you're not going to try to reframe that when you're in the middle of a anaphylactic shock or a few days after. But with the passage of time, then you can go back and really look at the gifts. And this is where the turning point was for me, was Colin Tipping in the film, where I looked at myself, and the reason I really couldn't be present on camera was because it brought up some kind of subconscious memories of some things that happened, you know, when the lights went on. And so I went and everything stopped in the filming process, and I said, you know, whoever the next teacher is to show me how to get through this, please show up. And Colin Tipping's book, Radical Forgiveness, was given to me a few days later by a client. And I'd actually been given the book before and didn't even bother to open it because I thought I knew everything about forgiveness, which was not the case. As I was holding on to deep resentment and inside of my heart, and it just said, oh, just let it go. By now I'd been in therapy, all kinds of processes. But when I met Colin Tipping and then went to take his workshop, for me, that's where I learned the process of, you know, what Colin says, you can't heal what you don't feel. Yeah, you absolutely can't. And I was trying. I'd never gotten in the therapeutic talking therapy to feeling it. I hadn't gotten anyone in some spiritual practice to wave a magic wand and get away. And I'd even been into incest survivor groups where we beat on things, you know, to get our anger out. But what was the result of that was a lot of justifiably then angry women. It didn't help us heal. So, you know, we were all justified in that anger. What I learned from Colin is how to, you know, feel the feeling a little bit, and then start to do what he calls collapse the story, and to take all the charge off of it, and then finally reframe it so I could understand that from a spiritual perspective that happened not to me so much as a kid. It was terrible in the human experience, but as a spiritual, in a being of conscious growth and development, happened for my greater good. Now, you know, decades after, I'm out there doing what I do and sharing, you know, in a little tiny part of the film, you know, that exact process that I went through with Colin Tipping's guidance to become, you know, to lighten up through that burden of deep resentment that was inside of my heart.
Yeah. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Well, and that's part of the radical, and let me just not run over that, so thank you very much for that, because that is, I appreciate that, you know, and that's what we do, Elizabeth, in radical forgiveness, is that's a very important first step of the process. When someone has been through that, we say, I'm so sorry this happened to you, because so many people never hear those words. And when you have that experience, someone's reflecting back to you that, that's sort of a step one for healing, because you finally get that validation. So I do appreciate that. And
I didn't even
and then
know
we
that.
Move on.
I'm sorry that happened to you without having read that book or knowing that. So,
oh, yeah, that's just the intuitive, yeah, knowing, exactly.
Yeah. And does that pretty much hold true for anything that's happened to people? Like, let's say you're, I call it like a divorce survivor. You know, so many people go through, the families get divorced and the kids are all, ripped through it, and, you know, all these things. That could be something that is painful for people as they grow up. You know, there's so many things that can happen. Does that forgiveness hold true for everything, or just the cases of sexual abuse and so forth? Is it particular to everything?
It's across the board for everything. And when Colin Tipping can take this process into Germany, into Dachau, I believe, with survivors of the Holocaust and the German people, and have radical forgiveness happen, it can happen for anything. And he's done that. He's a fantastic teacher and leader. And you got to have the passage of time. You know, again, if someone's just experienced something, they're not quite ready for that, and you honor that. But anything, and I am a certified radical forgiveness coach. I've had people come to me for some sessions of things that they haven't had peace in their life for decades. So I had a lady come to my office for a session right before Thanksgiving, and she was so laden with anxiety because it was just a boiler keg of emotions and fighting. And we went through the process. I coached her through it. She came back the Monday after Thanksgiving into my office and said, "This is a miracle. Not only did I get along with my family, but my family got along with everyone else." And that's all it takes, is one person to decide to shift and collapse the energy, and why Colin calls it making room for the miracles. And so all the processes and things I teach, and, you know, radical forgiveness is one of the most powerful tools for consciously changing an old story of victimization into empowerment.
Yeah, that or the I want to win person, you know, the person who just wants to win at all costs, the person
yeah.
who just does not back down.
Yeah.
Have you ever encountered somebody like that?
Well, are you talking
right,
about like
no
the right fighters? Yeah. Well, the
yeah.
right fighters they're going to come into their wake-up call at some point, you know, where their spouse will leave them or they'll have a physical something. I mean, it will happen, you know, sooner or later. And I've had people, you know, who have been like that come into my office where their life has just fallen apart. And we say, well, do you want to be right or do you want to love? And that you got to pretty much make that choice. You know, and then they're usually they have had the breakdown and are really ready to look at what is my part in it instead of blaming everybody else.
Yeah,
it works
sometimes
for everything.
Sometimes I write on my Facebook and just, you know, I've dealt with people in my life who've been angry or I've been angry, or whatever, and I always think, how do you, you know, have you ever tried to tell somebody who's angry that they're an angry person or that they're acting angry? It's like fuel on a fire, you know what I mean?
All right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
try that. Doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. But that's you know, and I'm not teaching this or anything, but that's the point at which you can change your sort of response and reaction to somebody like that, instead
mm-hmm.
of continually pouring the fuel.
Right.
And
yeah.
kind of the
just
same thing
out.
With forgiveness. Go
right.
ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, just pointing out, as we know, basic communication. You know, I feel really attacked. I feel really bad when you treat me this way.
Yeah.
Diffuses it right away instead of saying, you're doing this. You know, you have to, you know, that's part of heart mastery. You know, what is your feeling? It always comes back to that.
Yeah, but that's kind of the way you could feel angry all the time as a survivor of something. Like, I really could
mm-hmm.
sit around right now seriously and go, I am so mad I have food allergies. Oh, my God. You know, I'm allergic.
Right.
I'm like that 44-year-old person that's allergic to peanuts and tree nuts,
mm-hmm.
shellfish, and fish, and it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Truly and honestly, it's very dangerous living my life on a daily basis because of food. You know, I'm the person that can eat a cookie, and if it's got something in it, die.
Uh-huh.
It's very
yeah.
scary, and you can get angry,
mm-hmm.
or you can work with it.
Right. And you could also work the radical forgiveness process on that very issue, you know, and reframing it and see, you know, what might be going on, even things like that, you know, because I've worked with people who have, you know, other types of illness. That one's a very serious one. We actually had a person on our Peru trip who ate something off from a street vendor right coming into Lima that had peanuts in it, and she went into anaphylactic shock, and
mm-hmm.
we took her right to the hospital, and she was treated and fine. But that was an interesting, yeah. She had her little EpiPen, but she needed more than that in that case.
Yeah, I
so.
Do too. I always need more than that. But that, you know, it's sort of a just an example of how in your life you can. I love that radical forgiveness. That's cool. You know, let me just check time because I know we're chatting on and on here. We've got only 2 minutes left. We might go over just slightly because I want to ask you something.
That'd be fine.
Do you believe that you meet people for a reason? Do you believe that?
Well.
Yeah,
I believe everything absolutely happens for a reason. I don't believe in anything random. And, you know, my husband that I met, that I was just attracted to his smile when I was a student in the south of France, and that was for a reason. And then we had a conscious divorce. That happened for a reason. My new partner of a number of years, we happened for everybody. Why are you asking me that? Great question.
Me? Why am I asking you that?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, because I just am curious. I really, we're going to go over a little bit. So I really believe that we meet people for a reason. I'm sitting here going, I wonder what, I'm sitting here this whole phone call going, she's so cool. I wonder what we're going to do together.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Curiosity.
I love
it. Teaming up. And, I think every single person, you know, that I meet, and it just, if there's a really, you know, really big heart connection like I feel like we have, then
yeah.
you know, you have an opportunity to go on and do some more. I'd love to come back on your show, and you know, I'm gonna do another telesummit if you want to be part of that. That would be fun. So we just stay in touch.
Yeah, whatever. I just think there's so many things between us that are fun, and I have loved every minute of this conversation, every second of it, every nanosecond of it. So thank you so much for being with us, and I wish you so much success. Let's go through everything one more time so that people listening know, pretty much go to sacredjourneyoftheheart.com. But Rhonda has a really cool seminar coming up. It's how many days is that? It's September 9th. Through, I'm going to flip the calendar. Is it the 9th through the 13th?
Yeah, the 9th through the 13th. Yeah, that's an all-free online event that you can sign up and register for free at the website. You have to wait till the teleseminar rotating slide shows up. It should be there first, but just right. Register free. Yeah, that's the first place to start. We also have a three-day workshop in the Chicago area where my partner, chiropractor, clinical psychologist Donald Backstrom, actually does hands-on physical, you know, integrative holistic medicine work with people, and I do all the things, a lot of things we're talking about, the heart math work, the de-stress, radical forgiveness. So that's October 11th through the 13th as part of the seminar. There's the telesummit. There's a $500 off coupon for that, so people are really ready to look at their whole being, you know, the working with a holistic physician and with me and spending the weekend just, you know, instead of a whole, you don't have to leave the country for that, just flying to O'Hare, and yeah. We have a great program for some hands-on stuff, too, coming up.
Cute. You don't have to leave the country.
Yeah.
I like talking about all the world travel we've been talking about on this show. So, all right, well, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to meet you. Good luck with everything. Good luck with your movie and your workshops and your online seminars, and just best of luck to you. And everybody, I hope you will follow Rhonda Prince. Her website, again, is Sacred Journey of the Heart, and I will follow up online on besteveryou.com and make sure that all of this information is out there, and we'll get some of our Best Ever You audience hopefully signed up for your seminar, because those are so much fun. So,
yeah, great.
Right.
Thank you so much,
Elizabeth. Thank you.
It's been fun.
Thank you. Take care, everybody. And I'm trying to think of when our next show is. We've got school. we've got a really cool interview coming up on the 27th. With the founder of Faux Hawks, and many of you are going, what is that? It's bike helmets for kids. They're so cool. They put mohawks and all these funky, crazy things on bike helmets to get kids to wear their bike helmets. So the founder and owners of that company are going to come on the 27th for an hour and chat with me. It's two women. They're really, if you love entrepreneurial type things, these ladies have got quite a company going on. So Faux Hawks is coming up on the 27th, and then on September 5th, we have Scott Chesney, and from there, we've got a number of interviews for September, October, and November, and I'll post those too. So everybody take care. Have a great day. Enjoy the summer, and I guess we're going back to school shopping, aren't we? All right, take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.